Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. The Titans win 21-17 yesterday against the mighty Washington Commanders. Titans improved to 3-2 on the season. They've won three games in a row, and Joe have dug themselves out of an 0-2 hole to begin the season. Now, you know, the Giants somehow are 4-1 on the season, so that loss, I guess, continues to look better for the Titans every day. Buffalo, another pretty good reminder yesterday of how good the Buffalo Bills are to this point. So, I mean, look, I don't think the Buffalo loss is all that unexpected. The Giants loss looked bad at the time. I think it's still bad in the way that it played out, but they are 4-1 somehow as they continue to move forward here. What is this recent stretch here from the Titans? Winning three games in a row hasn't always been pretty, but they've gotten it done. What has this shown you about this group and what this team is and what it means for the Titans as they move forward here now in first possession or in first place sole possession in the AFC South?
Well, I just mentioned the Vrabel close game success, and a lot of people coming into this year picking against the Titans. I know maybe some of it is just that they think Chris Ballard's a super cool dude. Okay. But yeah. I think a lot of people cited, and I totally get it, that close game record and how a lot of times teams have regression. They regress, they go the other way a lot, both ways, right? Like you lose a bunch of them and then you may have a better team, people think, and the next year they starts going your way. Or with the Titans, a lot of people looked at them and said, you know, maybe they're due to lose some of these close games. Now, they've lost one in a game that they should have won, and they should be 4-1 right now. But I think, at some point, you have to look at a team and say, maybe the people they have there coaching and playing, they've got some people who just have the fortitude or whatever you want to call it, have the culture to win those close games. I mean, they do it a lot. They find ways. They make plays when it matters. So you got to tip your cap to that. They are an extremely flawed team. I still look around this, like last night watching the Ravens and Bengals play. You know, I know the Bengals are 2-3. They have issues, but those two and the Bills and the Chiefs obviously are among teams that I'd quickly put, ahead of the Titans in this conference, and there may be more. But they're hanging in there, and they do have at least the chance to get better if they get healthy, which becomes like a broken record, and it's starting to get hard to expect that.
It's starting to get very hard to expect that. I mean, we talked about coming into the season. I think one of the things I said was, like, you can't convince me that injuries are going to be as big of a problem this year as they were a year ago. And, look, maybe the final number, it's not 91. I don't know. I mean, they got a shot as they move forward here. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like for the Titans, but – like you said, it's hard to imagine them. I mean, look, they've already lost Taylor Lewan and Harold Landry for the year, so it's already a problem, injuries as they move forward here. So, but I will say, with all that in mind, there is a grittiness to this team. There is, when your back is against the wall, somebody stepping up and making a play. Like, just think about over the last couple of years, the different plays that have been made, whether it was Tannehill and A.J. Brown and the big pass, that one-handed over-the-shoulder catch in Houston to win the division a couple of years ago. You got Jeffrey Simmons, slowing down and stopping Josh Allen last year, even though all of Buffalo talks about the slip there on that play. And, Jeffrey Simmons making a big play on Monday Night Football. I mean, yesterday, David Long Jr. jumping in front of a pass and making a diving interception when you absolutely had to have it. Like you said, I mean, a lot of these close games, it does have a tendency to turn on you in the NFL. But I do think there is something to, like, when the Titans need some big plays to be made, they're not perfect at it. And certainly, I mean, you can think back to the playoffs and they've not made those plays. But a lot of times over the last 2-3 years, they've had the opportunity to make big plays when it matters the most, and they've come through. And I think after a while, you can't ignore that with a group. And especially on the defensive side of the ball, they've really done that a lot the last couple of years.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's what this league is. It's a great league. And when it comes down to, again, a lot of times The best team can play the worst team, and there's still a lot of matchups that are really similar across the field. And it just comes down to, do you have guys who can make plays? And I think defensively, maybe that even speaks a little bit more to Vrabel. Obviously, that's what he is. He's a defensive coach. He was a DC. He was a linebacker. Every week they come with different personnel groupings and game plan things. And they, again, that David Long play was a great play by him. It was also like diagnosing what they were doing immediately, taking on the McLaurin pick, chucking him aside and going and making that play. That's recognition and preparation. It's not just like a player out there randomly making a play.
Gamma Greg on Twitter says, the recent trend of the Titans is nothing more than fool's gold. This team is highly unreliable. This is from Greg on Twitter. And look, I understand that thought too. Like, it's easy for me, Joe, to look at what we've seen. And they're 3-2 through five games. They're in first place in the AFC South. I think they've clearly got more flaws than they had a year ago. Even with all the injuries, everything that happened last year, like, to me, they've clearly got more flaws this year. And I think that's been obvious.
They're a worse roster.
They're a worse roster. I mean, they are. But yet again, they're 3-2, and they've got an opportunity, you know, after this week off here with Indy coming in, to really put a stamp and take a hold of this division coming up. I mean, we'll see what happens in the Indy-Jacksonville game this weekend. But Jacksonville looks way less formidable than they did this time a couple of weeks ago. You know, Indy still looks bad, even though they got the win the other night. I mean, you've got, I think, a big opportunity coming up. And with everything that we've seen, you could still be, by the time they get done playing their next game, if you can win at home, absolutely 100% in the driver's seat in the AFC South.
By the way, does this mean that, like, is Indy Ben going to start joining us again now?
Maybe
and Todd from Jacksonville is going to start disappearing? I mean, I've been waiting for them. Maybe we can get a debate from them with that big matchup coming up. But
I hope so.
Yeah, look, it's you know, you're in a good position. And ultimately, again, you win the division for a third straight time. You also, that means you get a home playoff game, which maybe you don't want. But you know what? This team getting home playoff game, I'd say is a feat. You know, I disagree with the word unreliable there on the text line. I think they are reliable in terms of finding a way to win close games. I mean, it's not every single time. Even last year, they lost a close game to the freaking Jets and a close game to the freaking Texans. Okay, so it's not like they win every close game, but for the over time, pretty consistently, you know, they are better than the opponent. So I think they're reliable. They're just really flawed. I mean, they're, and especially with the injuries, they are at times, they look like a straight up bad football team.
Well, and Joe, the close game thing, you know, we can talk about the analytics of it and how, you know, more times than not in the NFL, that swings a different way season to season. But like, if the Titans are going to win the division again, they're going to have to be good in that stat again, because I just, with this offense, the way that it's constructed, and quite frankly, with the defense giving up 300 yards passing every game, I mean, I know it's, some of those stats have been a little bit different, and, you know, not all 300 yard passing games are created equal. I understand that. But like, to me, with the Titans roster, they're not going to be blowing teams out. So they're going to have to be pretty darn good in the close games yet again.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, in 20, there were some close games, and you mentioned one with the A.J. Brown shot deep, but also that team was able to put the pedal to the metal and run some teams off the field.
Yeah.
So they don't have that ability anymore. So yeah, they're between that reality that they're just going to have to just put together, for the most part, these dink and dunk good drives with a lot of running the football to score points. And then the toughness of their schedule, there's no alternative but winning close games.
Dave on the text line says, the best defensive player may be the punter. I will say, through five games, I think you got to be pretty impressed with Ryan Stonehouse thus far. And we wondered at what that would look like and, you know, what a difference maker he could be in terms of his ability to flip the field. You know, it's not been perfect, but I think overall you got to be pretty happy with what you've seen from Stonehouse thus far.
Yeah, he's 4 for 8 yesterday inside the 20. He blasts a 66-yarder. You can count on one of those a game.
Yeah.
You know, averaging 52 yards on 8 punts, but also netting 48-4, that's big time.
We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 3 wins in a row. They've dug themselves out of an 0-2 hole. What does that say about this group and what it means for the Titans as they move forward? More of your thoughts at 615-737-1025. This week's Nashville's best deal is Joyland in East Nashville. Joyland Burgers will melt in your mouth, I can tell you. I know what good burgers are, and these Joyland Burgers are pretty darn good. The fries are crispy, and the milkshakes are sure to satisfy any sweet tooth as well. You can get half off a $30 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got a pair of tickets to give away to see Andrew Dice Clay coming up at the Ryman Auditorium on Sunday, January 29th. Be caller number 5-615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Andrew Dice Clay at the Ryman Auditorium on Sunday, January 29th. 615-737-1025. We're throwing the question out there. You know, the Titans have dug themselves out of an 0-2 hole. They're a 3-2 team now heading into the bye week. First place in the AFC South. What have we learned about this team? What do the three consecutive wins tell you about this Titans team as they move forward here? Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, kind of adding on to this, I think Ryan Tannehill has been pretty good through five games. He's not been perfect, and there have been a couple of throws here and there where it's not gone well. There have been some clock management decisions that haven't gone well, whether it was the delay of game penalty yesterday or the debacle before half in Indianapolis, or you know, having to take another flag and burn a timeout in the first game against the Giants and getting over to the right hash for Randy Bullock. I mean, there have been some weird things that have happened thus far for the Titans offensively. And the numbers for Ryan Tannehill, I mean, they're not going to blow anybody away. But for the most part, I think he's been pretty solid with what he's got to work with that offensive line in pass protection and the receiving core at his disposal right now. I think Ryan Tannehill has been pretty good for the most part, and I think that's an encouraging sign for them moving forward.
He's a good quarterback, and he's part of, to me, he's a key part of the grit element that we talk about with them. And, you know, you start this team with Tana Henry, you know, those two guys were 2 years ago. We're sitting there talking about MVP with both of them at different points of the season, you know, and it's not that right now, but there's still guys who can lead a football team, can help you win a lot of games. And I agree. I think he's been almost about as good as you could hope for given the circumstances around him. The Titans are anything but great around him. They're not great around him. And 22 is great, you know, and there's a bunch of guys trying hard out there. But he's managing to make quite a few plays and not have the happy feet, not have the tendency to look down when the pocket's crumbling around you, standing in there. And do not underrate that and how tough that is and how many really good quarterbacks in this league succumb to, you know, seeing ghosts basically when it gets real bad with the protection. It's been bad around him for a couple of years now. And he's still hanging in there and making plays, throwing to a very pedestrian receiving core. I think he's been one of the most positive developments of this season for the Titans.
Now, having said all that, and I agree with everything you just said, if you're the Titans, like if you're Vrabel and John Robinson today, you got to be sitting in a room somewhere and saying, all right, we can't let him get hit 13 times in a game again. And look, the number's 13. It felt like he got hit more than that. Like, it felt like he was getting hit every time he dropped back to pass yesterday. And as tough as he is, and as much credit as he deserves for standing in there, and I agree, you can't have that continue to happen, or he's not going to make it through the season. Like, he has been the epitome of toughness since he took over as starting quarterback for the Titans. He hasn't missed a game. He's been really durable. All the things that you like about a quarterback. But they got to get – it can't be as bad as it was yesterday for him to survive the rest of the season, I think. Like, you've got to find a way to protect him. And I know the offensive line is in rough shape right now from a pass protection standpoint, and I don't know how much better it's going to get as they move forward here, but you got to find a way to protect him better than you did yesterday, or I just don't know that he's going to make it through the season. That to me was really concerning yesterday.
Well, it's also amazing how, like you said, how durable he's been. Remember last year that win at Indy, when it turned out to be after that game, I actually thought they had a bigger problem with Tannehill. It turned out to be Henry, broken foot, but Tannehill could barely move his neck after that game. And then next week, he's fine. They go out to LA, get a big win without Derrick Henry. So he's managed to take a lot of hits and be just fine. And again, this is also a guy who actually had serious injuries in Miami. So it's not like he's one of those freaks who just never gets hurt. He's had shoulder and knee serious stuff in Miami, and he gets into his 30s and he's made a steal. I don't know, but I'm with you. If they continue to get him hit to this extent, it's just kind of inevitable that something is going to happen. I don't know what the answer is there. I mean, really, the answer is you just have to run the ball at a really high level, and then you know your play action game gets better. And you buy yourself a little bit more time that way. But maybe moving the pocket like they did late yesterday is what they have to do a little bit more of. I don't think he's great like that. He's a lot better if he can drop back and throw the ball from a pocket. But they may not have a choice.
Well, on the defensive side of the ball, Joe, you talk about digging yourself out of a hole. Look, they've had to basically have a patchwork defense out there when it comes to that second outside corner spot. You basically not had Bud Dupree the last 3 weeks as well. I mean, they've had some problems on the defensive side of the ball, and some of the numbers aren't good. We talked about this last week. Like, if you go strictly by the numbers in terms of yards allowed, Titans really don't have a great defense thus far through five games. But in what matters, Joe, they gave up 22 points to the Raiders, 17 points to the Colts, and 17 points to Washington. In today's NFL, when you're giving up high teens, early 20 or low 20 points, like you should give yourself a chance to win most weeks. And it's not been perfect from the Titans defense, but after getting absolutely shellacked in the second half against Buffalo on Monday Night Football and losing 41-7, somehow this defense, even though it's been at times kind of the definition of bend, don't break, 22 points against I still think, a very talented Raiders offense, 17 against the Colts, 17 against the Commanders. And the question is, can you get healthier and be kind of that defense on paper that we thought they could be heading into the season as you move forward here? But it's not been perfect. They've done a good job of keeping people out of the end zone.
Well, and look, I thought the best thing about this team this year flat out was going to be the pass rush. And this defense is doing these things like without much pass rush. So now, will they get pass rush? I don't know. Will Bud Dupree be a player this year for them? They need those guys. They need more on the outside, but they basically haven't had that for a lot of the season, for most of the season. And they still are doing what they've done. They've made winning plays in the last three games, obviously, huge plays that, and in games where they're giving up big passing yardage and things like that, and some big plays that you don't want, but they're making winning plays. They missed the winning play defensively. You stop the 2-point conversion, you win that game against the Giants. It's Dylan Cole in space against Saquon Barkley, basically. So yeah, didn't make that play, but have made them in three straight weeks. So, I mean, look, someone on the text line is like, basically it's like everybody's the same, and it's like the Bills and Chiefs are up there, and that may be about right, but some teams are better than others at making those plays and closing out those close games.
JC in Gillettsville on the text line says, how did Raiden's grade out yesterday? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what the John Glennon tweeted out Pro Football Focus grades look like a little bit later today, but just going off the eye test, Joe, I'd be shocked if anybody on the offensive line graded out all that well in pass protection. But to your point, like they did open up some holes running the football. Again, Derrick Henry's yards per carry is not going to blow anybody away at 3.6, but I did think that they did a decent job, creating some lanes yesterday running the football.
No, they did. They're okay as a run blocking line. Dylan Raiden's is an NFL offensive lineman in run blocking. But pass pro, yeah, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see those PFF grades. Or, I mean, when does Jared, is hashtag Jared's film room, does he put out
I don't know if he's watched it yet.
Grades now?
Let's see.
All right. I mean, I'd like him to start grading some of the individual performances too.
I would too.
I'll subscribe for that, Jared.
Get that all 22 out there. Be good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, the first, and we had a texter point this out earlier too, like one of the first snaps that I watched, it was on the first drive at some point. I can't remember if it was the second or third snap, but they dropped back to pass, and Dylan Radins is just getting blown up. I mean, just blown up the middle, and I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. Losing Nate Davis for this game could be an absolute disaster, and it wasn't great out there with no Nate Davis, but again, I think there's a pretty big difference in this line right now between run blocking and pass blocking. Not that they're like, you know, an elite level run blocking line like they were a couple of years ago, but they're at least competent in run blocking, and I'm not sure that they're competent pass blocking moving forward.
Yeah, well, Nate Davis is hugely important, and he was on the report last week, played, and then it comes back up late this week, and he misses the game, so. Is this going to be a thing that plagues him all year, a knee situation? You know, obviously, getting this idle or off, also accepted week, could be good for Nate. But they obviously need him to stay in that lineup. They can't have any more good starters lost for extended periods of time.
We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans yesterday and their big win against the Washington Commanders to improve to 3-2. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the Tennessee Vols. They destroy the LSU Tigers down in Baton Rouge, and that sets up a pretty intriguing matchup coming up this weekend at Neyland Stadium as well. We'll get to all that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
How much of a boost you think a performance like this can be going into like you have next, like, what do you think this next week's
going to
be like for you guys?
I expect it to be, you know, as far as our approach from our guys, I expect it to be like it has been, you know. Everybody understands the opponent that we have. It's important that our players and staff enjoy this one tonight on the ride home. And as a staff, you turn to the next one tomorrow, and players will turn to it on Monday. Everybody knows who's coming to town and the opportunity that we have. So I expect, you know, next Saturday being electric atmosphere. Can't imagine it wouldn't be louder, more hostile than it was for Florida, and looking forward to that.
That was Josh Heupel after a big win for the Vols over the weekend, 40-13 down in Baton Rouge. They get it done against LSU, a destructive victory for the Tennessee Vols. Very impressive. They improved to 5-0, now at number 6 in the AP poll. They'll host Alabama, an undefeated Alabama coming up at Neyland Stadium on Saturday. College game day returning to Knoxville. We'll have a lot to get to with that game specifically coming up this week, Joe. But you were down there in Baton Rouge for this game for Tennessee against LSU. It was never really all that close, even from the opening kickoff. LSU fumbles the ball. Tennessee makes them pay pretty much immediately after that, and the Vols were off and running from there. What did you think of this performance by Tennessee in those beautiful smoky gray uniforms on Saturday?
Yeah, thanks for bringing those up. If I'm hiring Brian Kelly, one thing I fully expect, and paying him what LSU is paying him, one thing I expect is, I know in the early going, it's not all going to be perfect, and you got to find your quarterback and all that stuff, but you don't get run off the field by anyone not named Alabama and Georgia. That doesn't happen. It shouldn't happen. This was an absolute just butt-kicking, completely outclassed LSU. And they have issues, and they're not great. But that is a defense that I think one of the better offenses in the SEC and in the country would be Mississippi State's offense under Mike Leach, and that's a really good team. And that LSU defense completely locked it down after struggling early against it. And that has been the theme for LSU this year. And in this game, just forget about it. Just go for it on fourth down. Do whatever you can do, because you know they're scoring on you. And the Vols weren't even perfect. They left points on the field. They didn't have Cedric Tillman. They're just so tough, because you lighten that box so much And then you have a good offensive line that can move people, and any kind of a light box, and with the way Jabari Small is running in particular. And that's why they ran for 260 yards in this game, along with all the stuff they do with the passing game and Hendon Hooker, who has a chance now to actually announce himself as a Heisman candidate this week. It's something to behold, this offense. Then you throw in what I think was probably their best defensive game. I mean, I think it's probably their best defensive game of the Heupel era on the road against a team that, yes, isn't efficient passing, but has like pros and has a quarterback who can still make a lot of plays. To do what they did, getting after him, five sacks and the fourth down stops and the plays they made, pretty impressive.
Couple of takeaways that I had. Number one, the offensive line without Gerald Mincy being in there, and that was a pretty big concern for me. Like when pregame warmups came out, he wasn't out there. I was like, oh boy, you don't have your starting left tackle against that front. Like that could be problematic, and it was not remotely problematic for Tennessee. They protected Hendon Hooker really well. They ran the ball really well. 263 yards on the ground. Jabari Small was awesome in that game. You know, Jalen Wright, other than once and again fumbling the football, which is apparently a problem with him, was pretty good in that game running the football as well. But the offensive line, I mean, that was a question mark about this team coming into the year, and I think they have been better than anybody could have probably hoped for to this point. They protected the quarterback now really well. Now, having said that, you know, I watched Will Anderson play the other night. They got a big-time challenge coming up on Saturday trying to stop that guy, and I'm not sure anybody can stop that guy, but thus far, they've been pretty darn good at protecting Hendon Hooker and giving him time to throw. Number two, I don't know what this is going to look like against Alabama and Georgia, Joe, in terms of like how Kirby Smart and Nick Saban handle this. But the last 2 weeks, pretty early in the game, there's been a little bit of panic from Billy Napier and from Brian Kelly as well of, oh my gosh, we have to go for this on fourth down. It doesn't matter where we are on the field, because if we don't, we're going to get run off the field on the other side. And, you know, it's worked to varying degrees of success. Florida was pretty good on fourth down against Tennessee a couple of weeks ago. It did not work out so well for LSU on Saturday, but that's an interesting spot for the opposing team to be in with as good as this Tennessee offense is. Like, every possession is maximized for LSU and Florida the last couple of weeks because they know they got to keep up with this Tennessee offense. And sometimes I think that has led to some pretty stupid decisions by Billy Napier and Brian Kelly, and that's a pretty good weapon to have in your pocket if you're Josh Heupel.
Yeah, and I don't know how Nick Saban will think about it. I'll tell you what, I think you tweeted 1,000% Bryce Young is playing. I would expect the exact same thing for sure this week. If he doesn't play, Tennessee is going to win in a blowout.
Wow.
I mean, I'll just tell you right now, they're going to blow them out. Like Alabama, you know, they without Bryce Young, they found a way against Texas A&M. They found a way, and you know they can run the ball with explosiveness without question. But you know, you got to have Bryce Young. I think they will.
Well, Saban after the game in the CBS interview on the field was like, and yeah, you know, maybe we'll see if we can get the quarterback back this week. I don't think he's saying stuff like that unless he's got a pretty good idea that Bryce Young's going to be back out there. Just a guess.
Yeah. Yes. So Alabama with that, you know, with him out there, Alabama should feel good about being able to make plays on Tennessee's secondary. I think the key is going to be that Tennessee pass rush. You know, Byron Young, I mean, Roman Harrison is just flying around right now for them. That's the key, is that they have to get after him. But it's going to be fascinating. There are some things that are working against Tennessee. One, Alabama drops to 3. Like, you don't want that. No. You want them to be, like, mad about anything else, you know. That Tennessee knows game day, all this hype, we want Bama, you know, all this stuff. So that's part of it. Also, and I think Adam Sparks got this.
He did.
First, Jalen McCullough, that is a potentially a big development. Starting safety, of course. I mean, he's been starter for 4 years. Aggravated felony assault arrest. And so I don't know what that's going to be. I would think that probably means he's not playing Saturday. According to the police report, you know, in Adam's story in the Knoxville News Sentinel, basically a drunken guy walked into his apartment
apparently
in the middle of the day. And then, you know, obviously if he punched him, as the police report said, you can't do that. But it's just a weird, weird situation. Now, two guys have been suspended. Heupel has dismissed two players this year, William Mohan and Savion Herring, both for domestic assault charges. So before even seeing the legal process play out, gone. I don't think this situation would do that. I don't think he would do that, but I think he probably misses Saturday. And obviously, that's a big loss.
That's a big loss. And, you know, what does that mean for him as they move forward here? I don't know. Like, you know, a lot of Tennessee fans this morning on Twitter are like, well, a drunk guy walking in his house, like, what do you expect him to do there? I don't know what the details are. We'll see what happens and how that plays out from a legal perspective there. But certainly, I think it's fair to question whether or not he's going to be available for this game coming up on Saturday. I thought defensively, they played pretty well in the game. I mean, look, they gave up some yards and, you know, they weren't perfect and, you know, they gave up some plays down the field, but some big fourth down stops, some big third down stops. And like you said, their pass rush was really good. That's two road games this year, going on the road at Pittsburgh and on the road at LSU, where their pass rush has come through in a big way. They get five sacks on Saturday against Jaden Daniels, and they were really all over him, you know, hurrying him left and right as well. I thought they did a pretty good job of rushing the passer, and we wondered what that would look like for Tennessee this year. So far, I think you got to be pretty encouraged with the results there. And I'll say this, like, obviously, you know, Byron Young has played really well, and he's probably their best pass rusher. I've been very impressed with Joshua Josephs, the freshman, and what he's done thus far as well.
Totally agree. Josephs is, I mean, he's going to be, you're in the weight room with him next year. He's going to be a player, but he already helps. And I think Young is making himself money this year. Young is, he's a dude. And Tyler Barron over there, but I think Harrison becoming another guy who consistently beats his guy and gets penetration has really been big. Now that's going to be just massive, against Alabama. I trust Tennessee's run defense right now, although it will be tested by Gibbs.
He's
no doubt.
A heck of a back.
Yes, he is very good. But the ability to get after the passer, that's the whole thing. But you take a starting safety out of there. You know, Flowers and McCullough are not, they're not great. They're not like great pro prospects or great athletes, but they are starting safeties with experience who call the D, call it to the corners, and are very experienced, smart players. So how much does that hurt Tennessee's secondary?
Joe, two games without Cedric Tillman, Jalen Hyatt and Brew McCoy have stepped up in a big way. I mean, Ramel Keaton has made some good plays too along the way, but 7 catches for a 140 for Brew McCoy over the weekend and 2 touchdowns from Jalen Hyatt, 4 catches, 63 yards. Tennessee's receiving core is in good shape. And if they get Tillman back for this game, I think there's at least a chance that they will. You feel pretty good about those three in this matchup against anybody.
Well, we haven't seen this offense now that McCoy has really, and Hooker and McCoy have their thing going, and Hyatt's just been there all year, but we haven't seen this with Tillman and those guys playing like that, especially McCoy playing like that. I don't know what the heck you're going to do with these guys when Tillman comes back, if you're an opposing defense. So one thing that obviously this is about, this incredible opportunity and breaking this ridiculous streak and everything, but one thing I think you can say about Tennessee right now, like the floor almost is the Sugar Bowl. I mean, seriously, like 10-2 right now.
It's looking pretty good.
They got a real good chance at that. And then who knows beyond that? But we're about to find out.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sports.
Yes, I do, Robbie. And speaking of that Tennessee-Alabama game, we got an early line, and I'm taking Tennessee plus the 7.5 from Superbook Sports. And Superbook wants to know if you can beat Vegas this football season. Superbook Sports gives you the chance every week to go head-to-head with the best odd makers in Las Vegas. No fancy computer algorithms, no guys across the pond setting lines for American sports, just the best team of odds makers in the business behind the counter at Superbook in Las Vegas. We got some Monday Night Football action. action tonight, Raiders-Chiefs. I'll give you a couple props. Devontae Adams, anytime touchdown, I love. Patrick Mahomes over in passing, and I'm going to take the Chiefs on the money line. Plus, Superbook features some of the best odds boosts and promo bets anywhere. So download the Superbook Sports app or visit Superbook.com and start your battle against Vegas right now. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Can you take me
higher? And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road here on 102.5/106.3 The Game. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rex Road with the beautiful dulcet tones of Scott Stapp in the background. I turn things over to you.
Thank you. It's inspirational. I feel like this rant's going to be that much better for it. I did mention this, I think, last week, but for those who don't know, going to the Tennessee LSU game is also afforded us the opportunity to Katie Rex and I to have a nice sort of like honeymoon 20th anniversary celebration in New Orleans. This is where we had our honeymoon 20 years ago.
Sweet.
So we've had some fun in New Orleans. And you know, by the way, you know, on my weight loss journey, which has just been derailed dramatically here. one thing that I do, and I would advise anybody to do this, if you don't want to do like a severe program or something, just keep track of your calories. Just keep track of your calories. I find it to be pretty helpful just to kind of keep in mind what, you know, all your whole intake. Friday I had a 7,100 calorie day.
So come on.
Thank you.
That's impressive. Well done.
I was writing it out. I'm like, oh my God. But you know what? Every single one was worth it.
It's a lot of energy.
The best food city in the country for sure. So we're here, and on Friday, during Friday, in fact, at 2:10 PM Friday, I got a text. So, you know, we're in a hotel. If you stay like around the French Quarter, you know, for the most part, you were going to have to valet your car when you stayed at a hotel. So it wasn't like some fancy situation, but we had to valet park. And so this is the text I got. Good evening, sir. My name is Ronnie. I'm the operations manager for valet. Okay. So, you know, for people, you stay at hotels, sometimes you'll get like a text from the hotel, like, hey, like, welcome or whatever. Or here's a concierge or valet, whatever. Okay. You know, it's like a courtesy thing. If you need anything, I'm here. Okay, great. All right. Okay. I mean, I didn't respond, but I was like, okay, great. Go on with our day. Wake up very early Saturday morning to take the drive from New Orleans to Baton Rouge, of course, for the Tennessee LSU game. And no, we have to get there really early. And there's basically 10 West is the one way to get there. And so we got to get cracking early here. So, get down, you know, call in the car to bring down. And, you know, Ronnie is there and says, yeah, sir, I have to tell you a story. Yesterday your car was parked and then another guest's car brakes went out. And so we smashed that car into your car.
Oh, gosh.
And it's very damaged. I'm paraphrasing. I'm just sitting there like, you know, Katie and I are sitting there like, wait, what? I'm like, this might have been good information yesterday.
You think that might have been worth the text, Ronnie? Good Lord.
And he's like, well, I did text you. And I'm like, okay, let me read this to you. Good evening, sir. My name is Ronnie. I'm the operations manager for valet.
That's it. There's no information.
Information might have been helpful there.
Oh, my gosh.
So they're like, well, I think that you can get it to Baton Rouge. Oh, really? That'd be great. So they bring it down, and it is smashed up. I mean, there's like stuff hanging off the bumper up front. I mean, it's like a little Nissan, like it's like a Nissan. I don't even know what the heck it was. Versus? Does that sound right?
Sure. There? Versa. Yeah.
Tiny. Thank you. Nissan Versa. Tiny little car. Okay. So we're like, well, let's go. We got to go to Baton Rouge. So in the meantime, you know, so Katie, rather than trying to go to the football game, she gets to like drop me off and go find an Enterprise and go try to get this turned in and figure everything out. In which case, I need to actually tweet out the picture of the car that we got. The only car left, it is a clown car. All right. Hold on. Katie, what's the name of the car?
Isn't it a Kia?
Oh, did you get a Kia?
No, it's like a Chevy. Like, it's a time. It's like I have to sit in the back seat to drive it. I mean, I seriously have to like lean the seat all the way back to be able to fit myself into this thing. And it's one of those cars. It hasn't, I've had to fill it up on the way back to New Orleans. It has like an 8-gallon tank.
Oh, good.
Like, I mean, it's like, it's one of those cars where like,
sure, the gas mileage is great.
Well, I hope so, man. My gosh. It's one of those cars where you like you feel every single bump, you know, because like the tires are like plastic. It's like a Fisher Price car.
Go-kart out there.
So anyway, that's as soon as the show ends.
Let's back this up.
Of driving that sucker is going to be fantastic.
Let's back this thing up for a second. So this person's the brakes went out. So they just right into the car. The brakes went out.
According to Ronnie, the another guest car, they were just driving it to park it, and apparently the brakes went out. I mean, thankfully no one was hurt, by the way. I should mention that, you know. And Ronnie was like, thankfully no one was hurt. I'm like, well, that is good, Ronnie. I'm still mad at you, but that is good. That is good information to have. I'm glad for that.
So this yeah. guest has made it all the way to – they've either made it all the way to New Orleans or they've made it all the way downtown to the destination, and then all of a sudden the brakes go out. That's a tough one.
Well, I know. It's like, were they like mad at these valet people for something previously and they tried to give them a car with no brakes? I don't know. I don't know the answer.
I just love how there was a text of like, hey, sir, this is Ronnie. And I'm not even mad that you didn't even lead with the information there, but like at some point, you know, maybe after 3-4 minutes have gone by and there's no response. Oh, by the way, sir, your car is totally destroyed. We ran right into it. Maybe some important information there.
Yeah, might be helpful. Might be helpful next time. I'm like, well, then he says he called me, although like my your voicemail is full. Like, okay, well, and that is a fair like that's a fair thing. I struggle with that sometimes.
Yeah, you gotta clear that out.
But I mean, what was he gonna say? Hey there, hope you're enjoying your day in beautiful New Orleans. I'm Ronnie. Let me know if you need anything. Like, you know, to know information about your car that got destroyed a minute ago.
So we talking like the back of this car that got hit, the front? Like, how did you make this drive to Baton Rouge?
The front, so obviously must have been parked. They must have backed it into their spot. So no, it was the front was crushed, and then the back. But the back also had some damage because it smashed like into the, you know, into something. I have this photo. I'm going to share it with you guys. It's really fantastic, of this car that we get to drive today back to Nashville. It's going to be amazing.
I got a texter that says it's very weird. The brakes go out during a valet parking. Owners had to know something was up with the brakes beforehand. Yeah, like brakes just don't just go out. Like there's a process involved here.
It's a very weird situation. So you know they're like, of course we're gonna, you know, of course we're gonna pay for this and everything. It's like, but of course we have to get them. I'm like, yeah, well, that's fine. You guys deal with it. And also make sure they weren't trying to murder anyone. Cause yeah, this is a very weird story. I mean, this is a new one. I mean, you know, how fast are you going as you're driving this car? It's a tiny little ramp. I don't know.
I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm about to go like full conspiracy theorist on you. It sounds like maybe Ronnie or whoever was driving this car may have just screwed up. And then their excuse was, hey, man, the brakes went out on this other car. Don't know what to tell you. Kind of sounds like they just slammed into the side of the car for you. I don't know.
Yes, I agree.
Maybe I'm being too cynical in this process.
Yeah, no, you may be. No, you may have a point. Although Katie's saying I'm saying it wrong. So they're stacked 3 deep. There was a car parked. It was behind. It was sandwiched into another car in the front and then hit a pole. So, but still, like what?
How fast were you going?
Right, like how did it get to this is a really interesting question. But hey, you know, maybe Ronnie will text me later and tell me details.
Well, it's good to know that that he's got your number and can let you know of any further developments that happen. Hopefully your new vehicle is now safe and that you can get this thing back to Nashville in one piece as they move forward here.
Just wait until you see this picture. It's just
oh, beautiful. I see it now.
Yeah. You got it?
Oh, yeah. It's like a little go-kart. It's beautiful stuff. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program. Our fearless leader, Chase McCabe, texting in says, yeah, brakes don't fail like that. It's interesting stuff going on right now. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and their win yesterday against the Washington Commanders. That is next. Preds fans, hang out before the Preds games at the Superbook Lounge and Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway with 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials, plus enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. First one coming up this Thursday at home against the Dallas Stars. Coming up next, it is Corey Curtis. We'll get back into the Titans. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.